reserves is important in all aspects of life. And depending on your risk tolerance, depending on your situation, how you generate income, it really depends on how much reserves you want. Maybe you're a couple, you have really only one income because the other one's out there trying to pursue this business. Maybe you should have a bigger runway.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. Every Friday, we're coming at you with all things personal finance, because it's not what you make, but what you keep. And today, I want to share a strategy that really hits that nail on the head. It's not what you make, but it is what you keep. And with all the uncertainty in the world, uncertainty in markets, consumer spending starting to dwindle. However, consumer credit is at the highest it's ever been. Car loans are starting to implode. Just turmoil after turmoil and uncertainty after uncertainty. I wanted to share something with you all. Two strategies that I think can help you weather any storm. One is more of a tactical, physical thing you can do, and the other is in the mind, the mindset, which I think with anything you do is about 90 to 95% of it. Yes, anything you need to do, there are skills that you need to learn and get good at, but to me, that's only 5 to 10% of it. 90 to 95% of it is in your mind, because you can learn all you want, but if you don't have the right mindset to go out and do the blocking and tackling, get out there and be consistent and disciplined, it doesn't matter how much you know. There's only so far you can get with the wrong mindset. So let's just get right into it. The first strategy, the tactical one, is reserves. And what made me want to talk about this is I recently had, in one of my first properties I ever purchased, a duplex in New Hampshire. One of my favorite properties, I house hacked it. Beautiful old house, beautiful old duplex in a great location, walking distance to the downtown, to the green where there's a farmer's market, to boutique coffee shops, bars, restaurants. It's in one of the best school districts in the greater area. It's just a phenomenal property in a phenomenal location, and it grosses and nets very well. However, I got a call. I got a call from one of my tenants that they were having water pressure issues. The shower wasn't coming out very much pressure at all. The toilet wasn't flushing. So at first I thought there was just a clog, right? And they said there would be issues where the neighbor would be using something and their pressure would go down even more. So I contacted the neighbor and asked if they were having any issues. And they said yes. And they said, it's been happening for a little while, but recently it's gotten really bad. So I went over, checked it out. Yes, the pressure was low. They were telling me anytime the other neighbor who called originally would use a washer or shower, they would literally have no pressure at all. So I got my plumber out. He did all the normal checks. And the issue looked like it was stemming from where the water comes into the property. And in the back of my mind, when I first got that call, I was like, I hope it's not a mainline issue, because that's an older property. I knew it was cast iron and probably the original piping. So I knew that that could be the issue, because that happens over time with that type of material. As it deteriorates, maybe a root gets into it, or there's just shifting in the ground and a rock punctures it, whatever it might be. And that was my worst fear. And at the end of the day, that's what it was, a mainline break where you got to get an excavator in and dig all the way from the house to the curb stop. The curb stop is where the main water line in the street from the city connects to your property. That's where they can turn it on and off. So not to get into the details of that whole process, that could be a whole other episode of the do's and don'ts of when a main line breaks. But the point of it is, that's a big deal, right? Especially on a smaller property, that creates a big expense for a small property, right? In certain instances, that could wipe away the entire year's cash flow. Luckily, it's a solid property that nets a really good chunk of money, so it won't do that. It will eat into it quite a bit. But the point of this is to have reserves. Luckily, I do, and that will cover it, right? I'll have to build those reserves back up, but that's what's important. And when you're starting to buy real estate, I'm sure you've heard from the bigger pockets of the world, you put away 5 to 6% for vacancy, 10 to 11% for repairs and maintenance, and that builds your reserves, right? And that's a great way to start. I would definitely advise that. It's good advice, but I like to build an even bigger reserve, right? And it's not so much a percentage. It's when I start out and buy a property, I don't take any cash flow until I hit a certain number I want to hit in reserves. Smaller property might be 5 to 10 grand, maybe even up to 15, depending on the circumstance. And I'm not here to give you a number that you should aim for, because it really does differ per property, per location where you live. You in the Northeast where there's snow and freezing, or in Texas where you have huge ice and freezing storms, but not well insulated like we are in the Northeast, or maybe in Florida where there's wind issues, hurricanes, tropical storms. So it really does differ per location, but there is a number you should hit, and you shouldn't take out any cash flow until you get that. And if you take out of that reserves, like I'm going to have to, I'm not going to take any cash flow until that reserve is back up to that number. And this is kind of besides the point. This is not the point of this episode, but why I like scale, why I like either A, larger properties, or portfolios that give you scale right out of the start. They might be smaller properties, but there's a portfolio of them all within a concentrated area. And I like that because the reserves you build for them can kind of feed off one another, right? And you already have that scale there. So if one property has a hit, that cash flows out, but you still have cash flow from the others. And I think that's really important. And this is not just to focus on real estate. You should have reserves in all aspects of life. In your personal life, there's that thing that goes around, everybody has seen, everybody's heard it for the past 5-10 years, that the average American citizen does not have $400 to pay on an expected bill. One, that is very sad, and I hope we can rectify that over the coming decade. I hope people can get their financial situation in order so that's not the case, but unfortunately it is right now. So reserves is important in all aspects of life. And depending on your risk tolerance, depending on your situation, how you generate income, it really depends on how much reserves you want, right? So people say anywhere from 3 to 12 months. I think the average probably 6 months is fine in my opinion, but it really depends on what you're doing. Are you taking a risk building a business? Maybe you're a couple, you have really only one income because the other one's out there trying to pursue this business. Maybe you should have a bigger runway, 12 to 24 months before you start that endeavor. But if you have two household income or even one, but it's a really high income and the industry it's in is really sustainable, like you're a doctor, a dentist, an attorney to a degree, that's high income and it's something that is needed, right? Even if hospital goes out of business, you as a doctor are going to be able to get another job quite quickly at another institution. So it all really depends on your situation and the reserves that you feel comfortable with. I would say 6 months is the minimum. And this is just 6 months of living expenses, the bare minimum, right? This is not talking about wants. This is talking about needs. So about 6 months is what I feel is comfortable. And a business too, outside of real estate business, you should always have reserves. I know a group that has an 8-figure business, and I don't know, this numbers may have changed since I talked to them, but they like to keep above and beyond their operating expenses for a year in what they plan on investing back into the business. They like to keep $500,000 in cash. And then anything above that, that's what they will take as an owner distribution. And it's just for reserves. And it's a business that's been around for over 70 years. They've been able to weather many ups and downs in the economy and get through them. And part of that reason is because of the reserves they keep. If they get into an issue where they're not making the net profit that they were, they can float through that. They can still pay their employees' salaries. They can still pay that overhead and get through it on the other end when things get, you know, there's brighter, sunnier days. So that's the first piece of advice is reserves. Reserves in anything you do gives you a runway, gives you that bandwidth to make mistakes and still persevere through. Now, the second, as I alluded to, is the mindset. And this one recently hit me. It's really for anyone, but I think it really hits home for entrepreneurs, real estate investors, and that's keeping an even and level emotional state. And yes, that is way easier said than done. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been focusing on this, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not perfect at it. Far from it. There's days that I have to remind myself. And what I mean by that is there's easy to get highs and lows in anything. From my perspective of a real estate investor, it's the high of they signed my LOI. And then there's a low of, are we going to actually get the PSA signed? We're going back and forth on things. They want something. We don't want this. And then there's another high. They signed the PSA. Now we're good to go. And there's due diligence. You run into something. Maybe your lender originally told you it happened is no longer happening. That's another low. Maybe appraisals come in way under. That's another low. And then it all works out. you close the deal, that's a super high. And then you uncover something on the property that you weren't expecting, that's a low. And it's just this whipsaw of emotions, right? That just drains you. It really does. So one thing I've learned is try to keep a level head. And if you can think of someone you know like that does that, because I can think back in my career and I've run across those people. And at the time I was like, do they even care like about anything? Like I just won this deal. I just got this big, you know, broker to invest with us. I just won this big client and there's no emotion. Like, do you even care? Like, come on, I want some emotion. And as that person bringing that to them, it would feel good to get that vote of confidence, right? To get that positive reaction from them. But looking back now, I understand it. They've been in the business for so long that they knew they had to keep their emotions even level. Otherwise, it was too taxing, too draining. They would get high on something, but then another, I just want a deal. And then a couple minutes later, one of my coworkers might come in and say they lost a big account. And then it's just that whipsaw of emotion. So I think it's important to just remain even keel. Also, what it's going to do other than protect your energy, it's going to allow you to step back and make sound decisions, decisions not based on emotion, because that can get you into so much trouble. And I realize, again, I'm not perfect at it, but when I do execute it, it's just so much better. I have a clearer mind, I have more energy, and I just seem to make the right decision. So these are two strategies that I think can really weather anyone through any storm. One is more tactical and material, and that's having reserves, right? So physical reserves, like on our bigger deals, we have a bare minimum of 300 a door. Obviously, as you get smaller, that number doesn't really work out. And again, hence why scale is so important. But having reserves in real estate, in business, in your personal life, reserves are important, because whatever happens can give you a runway to weather the storm until you find a solution. And then two is the mindset, keeping your emotions level. So you don't experience that whipsaw and it drains your emotions. And most of the time, you know, it leads you to make an emotional decision. All right, guys, I just felt this was important because a lot of uncertainty in the world right now, a lot of emotion out there. So it's easy to get caught up in that and make emotional decisions, drain your energy. And most of the time that will lead to you not making the correct decision. So when you get in that mode, what I do to kind of come back is just take a step back and be grateful for what I have and know that things happen, but there's a solution. Might not always be what we want, but there's ways to get through it. And yes, sometimes you're going to want to show emotion, right? If you have employees, if you're a leader of people, yes, that's important. But it's also important to keep things even. Just keep everything in perspective and just be rational about what's going on. In the end, you'll be able to get through any storm. All right, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. If you get any value from this, please share it with someone who you can think value. That's how we get in front of more ears and eyes. And that's the purpose of the show, to help as many people as we can. We can all be better and make the world better. So as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so we can create the lives of our dreams. Because at the end of the day, personal excellence is what will make this world a better place. All right, everybody, catch you on the next one. Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.